When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Deuce and Mo. They tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo. The podcast that you know.
Welcome into the Deuce and Mo podcast, recording this on a Monday night. There are a lot of questions in Kingsland after the Kings got clapped by the Warriors the other night. A couple of days off. Are these going to be the Kings we see from here on out? Is the season slip sliding away? Well, the Kings' next opportunity was tonight on their home floor against a Hornets team that just lost by 53 on the road to Portland. How would the Kings respond after a couple of days of practice? Well, they responded quite well. Zach LaVine had his biggest game as a member of the Sacramento Kings. 42 points, 16 of 19, shooting 8 of 9 from 3. In fact, he had 18 of those points in 5 minutes and 21 seconds of the fourth quarter. The Kings, led by just 9 with a minute 30 to go in the third quarter, end up winning by 42. They beat the Hornets tonight 130-88, a much-needed win for Sacramento. They're now 29-28 as they embark on a road trip starting Wednesday against the Utah Jazz. This podcast presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery. I'm Deuce Mason. That's Morgan Reagan. How you doing, Mo?
You already know. I'm great. I'm grand tonight. Look, needed a dub.
Yep.
Like, I know. We're all basketball sickos here, and we all felt that same way. Like, our Mondays were going to suck. The beginning of our week was going to suck. Sometimes this team dictates how we feel all the time. And tonight it was like, okay, find a way to get a W against this Charlotte Hornets team. You don't know what they're going to come in like. They just lost by 50 points to the Portland Trail Blazers. Kings coming off a bad loss to what team wants it more? And holy shit. Did the Kings pedal to the metal, want it more, especially when it mattered most?
Yeah, and something that, you know, we were all watching. I mean, we've all been watching these games, right, together. Not literally together, but you know what I mean?
Pretty much.
It's like you saw a team that just didn't look like it was cohesive at all. And some of that's just understandable. And people don't like hearing it. I don't like hearing it all the time. I think I even mentioned after the last podcast where you go, well, they haven't had a lot of practice time. You're like, yeah, but you can control certain elements. And it's so true. Watching back that Warriors game, I did that this morning for some bizarre reason. You just saw how stagnant the offense was. And since the trade of De'Aaron Fox, like all the numbers have gone up dramatically. Like the Kings didn't turn the ball over at all, really, as a team. The last couple of years, they did a good job taking care of the ball. The transition defense was good because of that. Points in the paint, they did a good job of that. Since the trade, all those numbers are through the roof. Averaging 18 turnovers a game, points in the paint up dramatically, fast break points allowed up dramatically. And it felt like a lot of that was because of what was happening on the offensive end.
Yeah.
They got stagnant, a lot of standing around, a lot of thinking. It was concerning.
It was. And that came to ball security as well. And just the ability to take care of the basketball. And I think Doug was asked this at either a presser or a practice. Was something about like, hey, is that almost an effort thing at times when you're seeing the ball, like the turnovers and not being locked in? Like, what is that? And he explained how it's just not knowing has so much more of not knowing each other and where each other want to be on the floor and all the communication, all the different things, right? And I think sometimes we look from the outside and we go, but yeah, they're professionals. I'm saying something that I literally said. They're professionals. Like, figure it out. Even if it is on the fly, just like play freely, figure it out. Easier said than done. They got a couple practices under their belt. And look at the difference. Just being able to communicate and understand who wants what, who wants to be where, the flow of what the flow of the offense is supposed to look like, and then to execute it in game tonight and execute it on a high level. Beautiful.
Yeah, the big focus at practice the last couple of games on the offensive end was spacing, because there are many times since the trade where guys are kind of in the same spot, bunched up, and there's not movement, and passing was talked about, cutting. Now you got to do it on the floor. At practice, it looked great, right? They had a sequence of a drill where they literally had to run four plays on one possession, four different plays on one possession before taking the shot. And they had to go through it, and it just got the ball movement. It had them thinking, you know what I mean by that? You don't want to be thinking too much. You want to play free, but you had to be locked in and engaged. And it seemed like they were getting it together. The big question coming into tonight was, how is that going to look against an NBA team?
Yes, and being locked in and engaged within that thinking was understanding if so-and-so is running to you in the corner and you're already set in the corner, you're getting pushed out of the corner. You better flow on up. And then that person flowing on up is flowing this way, and that person's getting a DHO over here, and then they're going to the weak side. Like, all those different things, each thing that was happening needed to be seamless in a flow, and you never saw that from this team. And even at times tonight, when there was two guys running down the same lane or just being caught up in the paint or something, there was communication of you go that way, push, you go that way.
It was more seamless this time. Yes. There are still moments that it was clunky, which is expected, but it was so much better. And there's sometimes you watch a game and shots are falling and it could fool you. For example, that first quarter against the Warriors, shots were falling. It just didn't feel right. Tonight, shots were falling, but it was because they were making the right decisions. They were getting that ball rotating. Guys were cutting through the lane. They were getting good looks from three. I loved how they approached the game tonight. And the other thing they needed to do was play fast. That was something that they've not been doing enough. It felt like tonight, even off Hornets makes, they were getting that ball up the floor. It's essential for the Kings if they're going to have success as a team and be, you know, a team that wants to get a playoff series. They have to play with pace in the half court. Got to get the ball up the court. They got to move that damn rock. Let's go.
Yeah, the way that they were taking the ball, even on a make, like you're saying, quickly, and it did lead to some mistakes. You know, and I just sat there at times, seeing it happen on the base, I'm like, oh, haste makes waste. And it's just, again, understanding where so-and-so is going to throw the ball, so-and-so is going to need the ball or want the ball. Those, you're going to learn through those mistakes, and they can be frustrating at times. But I thought for the most part, they were executing, getting that ball up quick. Even DeMar, and I say even DeMar DeRozan, because that's just someone that we've seen within this offense be one of the people that brings it up slowly, or the ball sticks a little bit more and people go, okay, get your thing, do what you need to do. You still see that a few times. Weak side doesn't necessarily still move, relocate, or whatever needs to happen, but that will keep coming. They got one extra step just by pushing the ball up the floor, getting into that early offense, or even just getting in the half court.
We'll talk more about the flow of the offense. Plus, Keon Ellis did go down in this game with an ankle injury in the second quarter. We'll also hit on that. I think the headline tonight is obviously Zach LaVine. Mm. Zach, in his time in Sacramento, hasn't completely looked like himself. And that kind of goes back to what we've been saying, like, you know, trying to feel out a new situation, no practice time up until the last couple of days. And I felt like when he was out there, he'd pass up looks, you know, pump fake. We saw the games where you're like, God, how many shot clock violations? Like, what is happening?
Yeah.
I wasn't worried about missed shots. I was more like, oh, this guy is thinking too much out there. Tonight, I felt like he was locked in from the start. And I, yes, He was on fire with 42 points, okay? 16 of 19 shooting. The guy missed three shots, 8 of 9 from three. He had like four threes in the first couple of minutes of the fourth quarter, ends up with 18 points in 5 minutes and 13 seconds of the fourth quarter. I think I've thrown around 18 different numbers tonight. I said 18 and 521, and I just switched it to 513. What is it?
It's 521.
Are you sure?
No. I'll tell you right now. It's 18 points in 5 minutes and 21 seconds, because that was the question that I asked him in the post game.
I just like to double check.
And you're going to double check and see that I'm right.
5 minutes, 21 seconds.
Said that.
Right. Oh, well, I just said
you're giving me a fist pump.
Yeah, I mean, proud of you, man. Good job.
What?
Anyway, back to Zach LaVine. I was throwing a lot of numbers out there. Anyway, 18 of his 42 points came in the fourth quarter in 5 minutes and 21 seconds. It's not just about the makes. That's awesome. But God, I mean, I just felt like he was more decisive. Mm. Coming off those Sabonis screens, what stood out to you about Zach?
His confidence. He was confident. He was confident in himself. And like, not to act like he wasn't confident the other games, but I just felt like he was confident in his role on this team. And that role is you're being a better teammate by being aggressive. You're being a better teammate by looking for yours. Because by doing that, everything else is going to fall into place. I mean, that's what every single time Doug Christie talks about basketball, I just melt. I love how much he respects the game. He's a student of the game, and he talks about it being a beautiful game, because that's exactly what basketball is. And I feel that to my soul every single time he speaks about this sport. And I think when we say things like, you let the game come to you, or you feel the energy through the ball, those things really happen. And for Zach LaVine, by letting the game kind of come to him and playing it the right way, it just allowed everyone to play better basketball. And so Zach's not going to be dropping 42 every single night, but why can't he be a sharp shooter and have efficient numbers throughout the rest of the season?
It's wild to see someone on that big of a heater too, you know, couple years, was it last year when Keegan had that game against Utah? We were like, holy shit.
Mm-hmm.
This heater was crazy.
Yeah.
The guy missed three shots the entire game. You know, you see a guy with 42 points and you're going, oh, how many times do you get to the free throw line? Zach LaVine tonight took 3 free throws. I mean, the guy hit 8 of 9 from downtown.
Well, and let's be fair too, because obviously his shooting was just absolutely out of this world.
Yeah.
But you and I talked about this in the pregame show, and you talked about him being aggressive and using his athleticism. And I was talking about how, sure, when he goes downhill from half court line, like it always happens, but I want to see him in the half court set be able to go downhill, get to the basket, and be crafty. Like, you've seen him be athletic and do these things. And I felt like he had a few of those moments as well thrown in there.
He absolutely did. He had 14 points in the paint, 7 of 8 in the paint tonight.
Yes.
Using his size and his length, his athleticism. Go strong to the basket.
Hell yeah.
Man.
It was a little bit of everything.
Against a Hornets team that, you know, Nurkic is not a rim protector. You know, they're down Mark Williams right now. Like, go get yours.
Yeah. And he was, and ultimately it just made everyone else better. Again, I think when someone goes off like this, it's pretty exciting and it's encouraging.
Yeah.
But everyone needs to understand, like, that's not what's going to happen every single night. No, I'm not saying here. I'm saying with the team, even, like, don't just rely on Zach now.
No, I don't think that are going to do that.
I know, but you know what I mean? Like,
I mean, the guy was, what I loved is they were trying to get him another 3-point shot. And then of course the Hornets were smart to double him, but I saw Sabonis, who did not play in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
DeRozan didn't play in the fourth. Like, you got to sit a lot of these guys in the fourth quarter because LaVine just slammed the door shut on them. But Sabonis was like signaling to a Trey Lyles on the floor, like, go screen to get a look. I just love that everyone was into it. And that building tonight.
Oh,
cool. It's always interesting because I felt this way when the Kings were struggling on that homestand December. I'm like, it was a game they lost to the Pistons, the like real low point. Like, oh my God. I just remember how loud the fans were going into that night. And I'm like, man, this is a dark time for the team. The fans are into it. It's the Pistons, and they're like super into it. It's not like some marquee opponent. Same thing tonight. I felt like at the intros tonight, I'm looking around going, what is happening in
Monday
this building?
Night.
A Monday night crowd, and they're juiced. And it was just, it is interesting because, you know, sometimes we all get caught up into the online like discourse and like Reddit and you know, X, all the conversations, Discord, where like, you know, when you're talking and venting about things, it feels like everyone's so pissed off.
Yeah.
And then you walk in the building tonight and it's like everyone's happy. Even before the game, I'm like, okay, this doesn't really match up to like what I've been reading the last 48 hours. But the energy in the building was just electric. And when Zach was going, it was nice.
And you have to remember too, and I know you do, but you think about all these different platforms that we all talk on, write on, whatever. You're expressing yourself to the fullest, whether it's behind a keyboard or a camera, a mic, whatever it may be. And sometimes people feel that prisoner of the moment of whatever just happened or what they're feeling. And I think when you do step back into that building at times, and especially when you know that this fan base is always just going to be loyal and like step up, it's like you know that you're going to give into that energy, and it's going to come back in one way or another. Now, that hasn't always been the case with this franchise, but I truly believe like what we're seeing in the last couple of years is a team that is filled with guys that are never going to give up on you. So like, don't give up on them. Even if they play some shitty basketball at times, which we've seen consistently.
Special fan base. It's a special fan base.
Absolutely.
The Kings outscored the Hornets 42-16 in the fourth quarter. And shout out to Donald in the chat who pointed this out. It wasn't just the Kings who outscored the Hornets in the fourth quarter, 42-16. Zach LaVine outscored the Hornets in the fourth quarter, 18-16. And again, he played 5 minutes and 21 seconds. So,
Holy shit.
I mean, it was just really encouraging to see him have a night like that. And after the game, we did have a chance to talk to Zach LaVine.
Zach, 18 of your 42 points were made in just 5 minutes and 21 seconds. What's it like being on that type of heater?
If you could find it like that all the time, you know, I think we would all stay there. But you know, it was good. We needed a win like this, you know, team-wise. I think we came out the right way. You know, it feels good, obviously, especially after, you know, a down game like we had, you know, coming out of the break. So it was good for all of us.
So the Hornets cut the lead to 9 in the third quarter, like late third quarter. How did you guys turn this game into this?
You know, I think, you know, with a team like that, they're always going to keep playing, regardless of how much they're up or down. You know, they got some dangerous players on their team. But I think we settled back in after having some sloppy plays, some turnovers, some defensive miscues. But then you get out in transition, get some easy shots. I saw a couple go in, and, you know, as much as you guys get to start to know me, if I see one go in, I'm happy.
And you guys finally got to practice these last couple of days. How beneficial was that going into tonight's game?
A lot. You know, it's first couple games, you're just going out, you're just playing pretty much. At least I'm speaking for myself, at least, and trying to get to understand everybody, not to step on anybody's toes, come into a new situation. But now, you know, we got to get this real a little bit more serious, understand the structure and how we're going to run it. And so today was a good example of, you know, it looks a lot better when we do it the right way.
Yeah, you know, we talk so much about the transition on the floor, but how's the transition been to you, for you and to this organization? I mean, this is a lot to be traded in the middle of the season. How's that transition been like for you?
It's been tough. I've experienced a lot in the NBA. I've been traded before, obviously, but not in the middle of the season. But it's a hold on. It's a beam getting lit right now. Starting to get loud.
It never gets old.
No, I'm starting to see that now. But you know, I got to be a pro regardless of the way, you know, how everything went down. My wife just had our third kid. Staying at the damn hotel.
You know,
at least I got him with me though, so I'm cool. But I'm figuring it out. I'm getting comfortable, and you know, I feel good.
No, well, we're happy for you. We're happy for you and your family, and we're happy for you and this team. Go enjoy the win. Go enjoy the beam, Zach. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. I'll see you.
So there's Zach LaVine after that game.
So sweet.
Dude.
So sweet. And like, just him even talking about his individual play and basically being passive and reflecting on that as well. That's cool.
It was really cool. And his enjoyment of the beam, how he stopped. Oh, they lined the beam. Oh, it's
like,
gonna
it
get
never
loud.
Gets old, huh? And he's like, I can see that now. Yep. I mean, DeMar coming over after lighting the beam, being super excited. I mean, you're excited for your teammate to get shit going. You're excited for the win. You're excited for vibes. And that's something, too, that you and I have noticed. Well, I think other people have noticed this, but like the vibes around this team, even when things get down, they still stay up. Yeah. And it's not like a, you know, we've been around teams throughout this years where it's like they don't care, so vibes are fine and okay. These people really care about what happens on the floor to each other, all the different things, but they also understand if you just sulk and you're down, you're just beating yourself up and no one's ever going to get better.
Yeah. It's interesting to see that too, because you watch a team like Phoenix right now and they just don't look that together. You know, it's not,
no.
Look, there could be disconnect on the court and then off the court, you could be fine. But I think there's some teams where if they're struggling, it's just all bad. And it's like, at least the Kings are staying together. Now they got to figure out on the court and build some consistency if they're going to make a push here and make it interesting. Shout out to everyone watching us live right now, by the way. Hit the thumbs up and subscribe. Adam in the chat says, Deuce and Mo brought the performance tonight. Thanks for not embarrassing us. Like, what? What do we do? What are you referring to, Adam? Sorry. I of course, I read a comment.
I know.
Without...
It's okay. You didn't read all of it.
I know.
Yeah, but thanks for...
Thanks for the love.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was really encouraged by the pace tonight. The other thing that I loved tonight, did we give Zach enough love?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I think
it was just an amazing game.
Well, and we broke down the elements of his game and everything that he was doing well, and everything was also working for him, and his teammates are also happy for him.
One other big topic going into this game was like, hey, are they going to change up the starting lineup?
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't think they were going to yet. I thought tonight was critical for it, though. I thought... They want to see them practice for a couple of days.
Yes.
And then how does it look? Now, had it looked awful tonight? Had they lost to the Hornets or struggled? Yeah, maybe we're having a different conversation when they play Utah in a couple of days. But I think you saw enough growth tonight that was super encouraging. The one element tweak that was made tonight, we had seen in the last couple of games, Doug Christie sub out Levine at like the 8-ish, 7-minute mark and bring on Keon Ellis. Well, instead of doing that tonight, he brought in Keon Ellis for Malik Monk.
Uh-huh.
And right away, they run a beautiful play to free up Keon Ellis for an open three. He buries it. He hit another three after that.
That was a baseline out of bounds that he hit that other three. And it was just a beautiful, and it was Zach LaVine's first screen on Keon's guy. I think it was LaMelo. Slowed him down. He had one extra screen that he had to get through, which was Domas, but LaMelo was just like kind of lollygagging through and boom.
And so I like that look, you know, it's interesting that they're doing that right now. I don't know if they're going to keep doing that where it's like, hey, Malik plays like the first 4 minutes.
Yeah.
And then when Malik comes back in the game, he's playing with some bench guys. And I thought the bench was really good tonight.
It was a fun staggering rotation that worked.
Well, and I'll always think about tonight is, man, I'm glad they have Markelle Fultz, especially now with Keon down. Keon left this game in the second quarter. It was 6:15 to go. He contested a shot and then came down. And I'm like, is that his hamstring? Is this his ankle? We didn't know what the hell it was from our angle. But what? Because you saw his hamstring?
No, I like was so confident. I said to you and our producers, I was like, oh, yeah, hamstring, 2 weeks, watch.
Well, stupid. We don't know the severity of it. We do know that he did not come back in the game. He only played 9 minutes, and it sucks, too, one, because Keon's an important part of this team. But, dude, I thought when he came in tonight, he did everything that they needed from him and what they just need from everybody. I just seen him cut with a purpose, cut through the lane, get to the spots. Hey, rotate, relocate, knock down your shots. And then defensively, he was everywhere.
That's it.
It was so refreshing that they could go to the bench. It was like, okay, you got Keon that you're now putting on LaMelo. Keegan Murray can slide over to Bridges, who had it going early in this game. And Keon's defense, he was just a pest out there.
And just him being able to do it on both ends of the floor, that's when things become more magical, right? And I feel like he feels more and more confident and empowered, maybe under Doug, maybe just in this role with these opportunities, whatever it is. And by the way, with all these opportunities and playing well and all the different things, he's still like the most humble basketball player ever. We had to do a little Q&A thing with him and Jay Crowder, and he said his mentality is, it is what it is. I'm just kind of a, it is what it is kind of guy. Like, he just tries to show he can do something through his actions. He doesn't need to use his voice. And I'm the type that like talks it up and tries to show, right? Yeah. Like, I'm very aggressive with that.
How would I be if I was Keon Ellis, if I had Keon Ellis's game, would I be loud and obnoxious about it?
Yes. Yeah. 100%.
I'd be talking so much.
And that's what's so fascinating about Keon is that he's just like humble, but it's just so,
Even keeled?
Yes.
Which is great. Yeah.
And it's so great. And my whole point to that being for him to then elevate his game on the offensive end has just been so impactful for this team. But even in a game like tonight, where you just wanted to find a little way to pull away from the Hornets at time. And I thought when he came into the game, it was that instant kick that they needed.
Yeah. And it gave Doug a good opportunity to see him with the starters. If they do decide to make that switch at some point, where you've got Ellis, LaVine, DeMar, Keegan, Sabonis playing a good chunk of that first quarter together. Then when Monk came back in, it was the 3:14 mark. And it was a lot of the bench. You had Fultz, Monk, LaVine, Laravia, and Valanciunas come in, and that unit rolled together for some time. But I like what the bench brought tonight.
I did too.
I think Markel really, it's what you've seen in the past from him, but what he does defensively, he's long, he's physical, good on-ball pressure.
Hi, he knocked down a corner three.
He did, dude. Oh my God. End of shot clock too.
Yeah. I was super glad that
went in. One of the weirdest shots I've ever seen in NBA history.
And I mean, just keep trying to shoot that weird shot confidently. But keep doing what you're doing on the defensive end. And not only on the defensive end, I think even going back to the offensive end, his handles, you know, being able to hang on to the basketball, see the floor, play make if he needs to. I think he'll find more and more confidence in that as he sees more opportunity, especially right now. If Keon's ankle is anything more, we'll obviously find out more about that. But either way, for Markel Fultz, I'm just so glad that he's part of this depth right now.
Yeah, he's definitely something they needed. And then Laravia, too. I just thought Valanciunas, the bench's activity tonight.
How about this? Trey Lyles coming in late in the game and stepping up when he wasn't even in the rotation. And then Keon goes down and they're like, okay, step up, big fella. And it's exactly what he did.
It's a good point because he did not see action in this game until the 4:30 mark of the third quarter.
Wow.
At one point in the game, I said, Morgan, you realize who hasn't played tonight is Trey Lyles. And he hasn't been playing well. And he gets his name called, right? Ellis goes down. They're mixing and matching different lineups or whatever. Comes in, knocks down a couple of threes.
It was that.
And it was a close game when he came in.
I also thought he brought a different type of energy. You know, not that energy that we've seen before with him where it's like, oh, man, a little bit of a liability out here or not doing the right things. It was, I think, because everyone else was working well. When he was plugged in, he just added to everything else working well. And being able to knock down some of those shots, being able to step up when your number is called, loved it. Loved it. Loved it from a lot of this of the bench. And then even the garbage time minutes, obviously the other guys just coming on in, Devin Carter knocking down a three right away when he got in there. That wasn't even garbage time minutes for him, was it?
I mean,
yeah, it was. I call it.
You did in quotes for the audio people. Yeah, it is so true because we've said this multiple times on the pod, like garbage time. Dude, for some of these players, it's opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
It's you never know who's watching, who's paying attention. It could be another team, another scout, or your own coach. It's like, dude, I like that. You know what? You just
happened
some
to
minutes.
Keon Ellis.
Mike Brown with Keon Ellis.
Yep.
Right?
Yep. I mean, that's in it's super important. And you just never know if you could find your way into that rotation, whether a guy goes down or because, look, other guys aren't giving you what you need. So, yeah, to see some of the other guys get some time on the floor and the starters all playing under 31 minutes, 32 minutes, whatever, love to see it.
We'll talk about some of the lows of this game, too, of course. We do want to play our conversation we had with Malik Monk because he was pretty funny after this game.
Warriors and the loss before the All-Star break with the Pelicans. But we're going to go to the hallway. Malik Monk is standing by now in the hallway waiting for us. And Malik, we're talking about this win and just how you guys dominated. It felt like there in the third quarter, they were starting to creep back in it. But then you went pedal to the metal. What happened? What shifted?
We started getting stops more, stopped playing lazy, and then locked in on the little things, and that's why we pulled away.
Malik, what's it like watching Zach LaVine when he's on that type of heater?
About time. About time he started here. Nah, it's funny, man. It's always an honor to be out there with a guy like that, and DeMar, too. Just can get it going whenever. And, yeah, I just tried to keep feeding him, tell him to keep shooting the ball, and hopefully he continue this because he ain't been hitting nothing with us.
you know what I love about Malik? Yeah. He keeps it real.
Oh, yeah. No, you know he's going to keep it real no matter what.
But it's true. An aggressive Zach LaVine. Like, I think that's what you need. I felt like he was passing up some good looks in the lead up to this game. Yep, yep. So to see him be assertive tonight, I thought was big for you guys.
Yeah, definitely. That's what I've been trying to tell him, too. No pump fakes. No second guessing, no thinking. He just need to go out there, play, shoot the ball, drive it, pass it, and we'll just play around him.
And then one more thing for you. You guys had a few practices now these last couple of days. I asked the same thing to Zach. How beneficial was that, having that before going into tonight's game?
It was beneficial because we needed the offensive structure. We ain't had time to just talk and let everybody know what spots they need to go to when three side field cut-throughs, things like that. So it was crucial for guys like Zach and JV, Jake, Markel. That helped us get the win tonight.
Well, enjoy the beam, Malik, and thanks for joining us.
Appreciate y'all.
Bye. That's Malik Monk.
So there's Malik Monk with us after the game.
He's so cool.
I just love how much shit he gives guys sometimes. About time. Wasn't doing that. Wasn't shooting enough.
The most blunt. Never change.
I think that's why sometimes I can be blunt with him on our post-game conversations. When I talk about missed free throws to him. Deuce. I'm just saying. Because you give me crap over that.
I don't give you crap.
Okay.
I don't give you crap. I always just say, like, make sure you know them. And that's in De'Aaron, we knew. And that's why you could, you know, have fun. Malik, same thing. And I say no, but I mean just, like, obviously within all of this. But, like, building that mutual respect, I think, is there.
Well, the Kings win tonight 130-88. They end up shooting 54%. They knocked down 20 of 38 from downtown, 30 assists. They did have 18 turnovers. 8 of those came in the third quarter. We'll talk more about that in a second. You know, we've gotten a lot of questions this season about someone we all love a lot, and that's our good friend, Coach Nick. Coach Nick, for those who don't know, what the hell? How do you not know?
Do you live under a rock?
He's been a huge supporter of our podcast for years. We're talking about the lean years when the Kings were losing 9 in a row, but twice in one season. And he would pretty much, during the pandemic especially, make it a point to come on almost every one of our shows.
Yeah.
And the Kings would get smacked. Just destroyed. Corey Joseph clanking shots. Uh-huh. Me over here going, man, can they get Kyle Guy some minutes? And he'd always have one message. Why not win tomorrow?
Why not win tomorrow?
Why not play defense?
Like, the most simple message that was just like, damn straight, Nick. You're right.
Yeah. So he's one of our favorites. Always will be one of our favorites.
Always.
So we've got a lot of questions like, why haven't we heard from Coach Nick? And I talked to him a little after Christmas, checked in with him. We recently got an email from his family with a message that his family wanted us to be able to share with you guys because we got so many questions about him. So I'll just read right from it. Dear friends, neighbors, family, and loving supporters of Nick, we want to take a moment to share something important about our beloved Nicholas.
As some of you may notice, he is facing cognitive memory challenges that make conversations a little different than before. You might see him repeat topics, lose his train of thought, or struggle to recall details. Many of you know that Nick used to reach out often, sometimes obsessively. He'd always call. He called me all the time, by the way. Anyway, it continues on. If you haven't heard from him in a while, please know it's not personal. Mm-hmm. As we learn more of his condition or the progression, his patterns of communication are changing. He's still undergoing testing and more information will be forthright. In the meantime, and while he may not be the one initiating contact as much, he still deeply cares about those in his life and that have impacted his life. During this time, we ask for your kindness, patience, and support. If you see him, please greet him with warmth. Engage with him as you always have, and know that your presence and understanding mean the world. Let's cherish every moment and surround him with love. In the infamous words of my amazing, beautiful son, why not? Thank you for being a part of Nick's journey and for showing the care that makes this community so special. With gratitude, that's from Nick's family. So we are obviously thinking about Nick. He's our guy.
Yeah.
It's okay. Okay. So Kings take on the Jazz next, and you know what he'd be saying?
Why not win?
Why not? And you know what he'd say? Morgan, fire the laser.
I know.
Give me a hell yeah.
Yeah. So, we love you, Nick. And of course, I can speak for, I think, all of our, you know, listeners and viewers. We're all thinking of you and the family. And yeah. And I know, so we've gotten so many questions about him over the last year. I didn't know, I didn't have the answers either until I got this, we got this email because, you know, he had not been checking in often. I'm like, oh man, hopefully everything's okay. And you know, I had talked to him once and it definitely seemed like things were a little different. But
yeah,
that's our guy. And we needed to update you guys.
Yeah. And just super strong, sweet, supportive family. I just can't even imagine.
Yes. The strength that they have.
Yeah. Cause you know, you get to see him at his highs and then the lows. And you know, we obviously all got to experience so many amazing eyes. And so if he's ever comfortable in going back to games or anything, just if you do see him, gentle approach and
buy him a goddamn pizza.
And buy him a goddamn pizza.
He better have 75 slices of pizza in his hand.
Yeah. 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 But yeah, and thank you to his family for allowing us to share that message and to update people all at once. So he's just such a special, special soul. So very, very lucky to always have Nick and his famous sayings.
Okay. It's okay. We got more of the podcast in just a second. We should mention that tonight's podcast is presented by our friends over at Centivo Vineyards and Winery.
My goodness. It's they're amazing people. And we just did such a fun event with them. And we got to sip on a lot of good wine. And I was just telling more people tonight. I'm like, I'm not kidding. It is some of the best wine I've ever had. Can make you feel better when you're happy, when you're sad.
It just tastes good too.
And it just tastes good. So make sure to go to centivovineyards.com if you want to become a wine club member or if you want to check out a bottle yourself.
We're also presented by our friends of our Golden One Credit Union. We are all one with Golden One. Actually, Coach Nick is a Golden One member because I've definitely seen him get the perks of going and shooting free throws after games and early entry to games sometimes. If you're a Golden One Credit Union member, join. You get 50% off Kings home games, 15% off merch. So many perks to being a Golden One member. Scan that QR code or go to goldenonecreditunion.com. Golden One, the official credit union of the Sacramento Kings. Also presented tonight by our friends over at Medic Ambulance.
Woo, woo, woo. For 45 years, Medic Ambulance has set the standard in emergency medical services, combining cutting-edge technology, award-winning service, and a deep commitment to community care. From life-saving responses to being the team behind the scenes at your favorite events, Medic is there to serve. When seconds matter, trust the professionals setting the standard in patient care. Medic is the official emergency medical response partner of Sac Republic and Stingers Up Sac State Athletics. Learn more at medicambulance.net.
Also presented today by our friends over at
Rocket Money. It's a new year. It's a new year to prioritize your finances. I know it's, well, even if you're in February, I say it's a new year. It's still the start of the year. It's Q1 for any of
it's
you.
It's never too late to start your financial journey, right?
There you go. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that helps find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features.
Cancel your unwanted subscriptions and reach your financial goals faster with Rocket Money. Go to rocketmoney.com/GameOn. That's rocketmoney.com/GameOn today.
That's rocketmoney.com/GameOn. Appreciate everyone's support of the Juice and Mo podcast. All right, so the Kings win tonight 130-88. Going back to the whole starting lineup thing for a second.
Yes.
Are you in this, like, you know what? I want to see it now. Yeah, let's just keep it the way it is.
Look how quickly we all change.
Well, I think we were open-minded too. I was like, those 2 days of practice, it didn't make sense to me to come out with a different lineup tonight. When you just had 2 days of practice, when you're trying to implement things and get people comfortable.
Well, I also think with trying to adjust the starting lineup, it was people mostly just wanting change. You can tell me if I'm wrong, but I feel like it was mostly just wanting change when really the people on the inside being at practice and understanding their players, they knew what Zach LaVine was capable of. They knew DeMar DeRozan can do a better job of moving around the basketball or being quicker, whatever. They knew Sabonis could initiate the offense better or like try and get his too. Like everyone, I feel like you have a team of good guys that need to find their edge and their aggressiveness of wanting to take over. And I know DeMar can do that. And sometimes that can also be a flaw of his, you know? So everyone needs to kind of do that. So then they can also help DeMar. So I was fine with not making any changes and trying to see what the hell you can do with this starting lineup. But I also think the rotations were huge tonight.
I agree. And I know we just talked about the bench a little bit, but I like the energy that they brought. You know, I thought LaRavia's on-ball pressure and physicality. You know, I just think this team has to have that type of fight every night. You know, I felt like they were flying around more. Again, yes, we have to note that this Hornets team's not very good. We should also note that this Hornets team went to LA and beat the Lakers, right?
Yeah.
Like last week. So you don't really take anyone lightly. It's the NBA. I just felt like tonight the effort as a whole was, but we haven't even really talked about the defense, but I thought defensively, like Sabonis, who was not very good tonight offensively, hit some really strong moments on the defensive end, just making sure to protect the rim,
yep.
The verticalities. I thought the effort in general, it didn't feel like the Hornets got a ton of clean looks tonight.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it because I think everyone was so active. I think the ball pressure was there and I think everyone was doing their job even when it came to recovering. I wish I remembered who it was that was cutting to the basket, got the ball. I think Malik was in help and he recovers by, again, blocking it from behind.
Yep.
And there's so many times when you see Malik make the right move like that. Like, okay, I didn't get my body in place, but what else can I do to disrupt this play or make something else happen? And I felt like every guy was engaged to do the extra thing. I mean, how many times were we talking about the effort in the first quarter when it felt like ball was jumping back and forth and the Kings were the ones to find a way to grab the 50-50 ball or make sure to not give them another second chance opportunity? There was times in the game where I felt like they didn't do a great job of that. But overall, Yes, that type of effort was there.
Well, it does seem when this team goes bad, it's when the offense goes bad. And that was on display in the third quarter. They did close well in the third quarter, but there was a stretch you're watching this going, oh, they didn't come out with the same force. The pace wasn't there. They started turning over the ball. They had 8 turnovers at the half. They had 8 in the third quarter.
Yeah.
And it really allowed the Hornets to get back in the game. And so I think there's definitely lessons to be learned there. And I that's probably the best thing for Doug Christie is to, hey, we did this so well in these quarters. This is the execution. This is the pace. Let's take a look when things went bad tonight in the third quarter, when it slowed down, when we're being a little lackadaisical with the ball, like we weren't making the right decisions. There's definitely room for growth there. You just can't this game again. This is me being Deucey Downer for a second.
Okay.
I can't be having 18 turnover games all the time. And that's been the average since the trade. 18 turnovers per game. That's near the bottom of the NBA. That has to get cleaned up.
I get it.
And tonight, the culprit, I thought Sabonis had some awful turnovers
in
this game.
He did. Very careless. Very much like just trying to make more of a wild play or an outlet that was just like, what? Like, there's no room for those imperfections when you're already in this. I keep calling it a hole, what? Like in the 10th spot, whatever you want to call it in the Western Conference.
You're fighting.
But it's like, yes, it's like there's just, and you played a team that can have its moments, and they didn't have their moment tonight, and they didn't capitalize on your mistakes. It doesn't mean you lucked out with that, but how can you, again, reflect and go, okay, I'm not going to get that outlet pass to so-and-so like that anymore when we're playing these long athletic teams or whoever else likes to run this lane and would rather have a bounce pass than a chest pass. Just all the simple things that you're still learning about each other, it's just like learn quicker. Make it simple. Don't make the cute pass. Make the right pass.
Yes, Sabonis had 4 turnovers. Malik had 5 tonight. So those guys combined for half of the turnovers.
How many assists did Malik have?
10.
Yeah. I say that only because he had the ball in his hands so much. Of course, like that's not a justification.
No, but to be honest with you, I'm glad you brought that up. Someone in the chat was just talking about that tweak we talk about with the rotation. It's one game, but in some ways I'm like, I kind of like Malik getting some more run with the bench guys.
Yeah.
I think that he is needed a lot with those bench guys. Where you have other guys in LaVine and DeMar who can handle a little bit. Obviously, again, you don't have point. We've talked about the weaknesses with the point guard spot in this team, although you do add Markelle Fultz now. But seeing Monk kind of organize that unit and get that pace going, I think it was really beneficial for the bench unit.
I do too. I think that was huge. And I think sometimes if it was someone like DeMar, for example, with a few integrated into the bench unit, and let's say Malik wasn't out there or whatever, I think it turns back into slow because he'd be like, okay, I have to take over for these people. Where Malik Monk is better at creating things for everyone within that. Like you said, pushing the pace and being like, no, run with me. Run with me. Let's have some fun.
I guess the counter would be, what's the point in starting Malik if you just take him out like 4 minutes into the second quarter or into the opening quarter and you put Ellison, like he plays the first 4 minutes? Why not just start with, you know, Ellison?
I mean,
I don't know,
you could, but if you see this continue at work tonight,
if it's something to watch though.
Yeah,
but I really liked what the bench did.
Yeah.
Who's your simply the best player of the game presented by Northwest Exteriors?
Well, it has to be Damian Baugh.
Okay, I know you joke for a second.
I know.
Can we just give Damian Baugh of the Hornets some love?
Thank you.
I'm glad you brought this up, Morgan.
I know.
I was watching this guy.
He's an impactful player.
He's a dog, dude.
Yep. And he had 0 points, right? Or did he end up scoring?
Guy had played 26 minutes. He was 1 of 8.
Okay.
He was a minus 39 on plus minus. I don't care about that. In a single game. I just think it's funny.
This,
he had the worst plus minus on the team. And we're like, dude, let's talk some Damian Baugh. Dude, I thought his on-ball pressure tonight on the Kings.
Fantastic.
It was really good. He had 4 steals. He's got good length.
It was like
playing
scary.
Physical.
Like I wouldn't want to dribble the ball near him. Like he just, He's very good at getting low, being active with his hands, and having that on-ball pressure where it slows down an entire offense and makes them think twice, and especially not with like someone like Malik Monk who's put in that position as a ball handler.
I'm going to say something. I can guarantee you Damian Baugh's name has not been mentioned. He's not getting mentioned tonight on Locked On Hornets.
No.
Okay.
And when, he should be.
When has Damian Baugh been mentioned this year on an NBA podcast?
Let's look at.
We are the fucking first.
No.
Yes.
If you go, what if he's had like a 15 point game off the bench? Let's look.
I just, you know what? Show appreciation to guys that play hard.
And dude, and that's what it was. Throughout the game, I kept looking at his numbers and I was like, really? He really hasn't done anything along like on the stat sheet, but his presence alone on the floor on the defensive end, I just thought was like altering.
He's 6'3". He's listed at 6'3" with a almost 6'9" wingspan. Dude, yeah, he looked long out there.
Are you going to his...
Oh, sorry. I'm...
Yeah.
Did you expect me to be doing a Damian Baugh?
No, but I knew I was going to bring him up tonight.
Oh, my God, Morgan. What? This is only his third NBA game tonight. Dude, and he had 16 against Orlando February 12th. Okay, like, we need some details on Damian.
Tell us more about yourself, Damian Baugh.
South Bay, Westchester this year. The okay. Hornets recently picked him up. February 12th, they picked him up on a two-way contract. Made his NBA debut that day, logging 16 points, 5 rebounds, 3 assists. He went to TCU, started at Memphis. He was undrafted in 2023. I don't know. Anyway,
that's our Damian Baugh segment. Dude,
Damian Baugh, I liked your effort tonight.
Agreed.
We talked what we just said earlier about garbage time. It's a 39-point game, 40-point game, whatever. You're playing the same way.
100%. Respect Damian Baugh. So he is not our best player of the game, but I'm sure it's going to be Zach LaVine.
Zach LaVine tonight. My goodness. Simply the best player of the game, 42 points, 16 of 19 shooting, 8 of 9 from 3 in 31 minutes. Our Simply the Best Player of the Game presented by our friends over at Northwest Exteriors, Morgan Reagan.
Yes, upgrade your window system during the 30th anniversary sale. Purchase 7 windows and get a patio door for a huge discount. 100% financing available. You can call for details. And this one's going to end around March, and there's going to be new deals coming up.
So go to northwestexteriors.com because Morgan Reagan, they are
simply the best. Trust Northwest.
There you go.
Yeah. 16 of 19 is an unbelievable.
Like, I just needed a Kings win tonight. Yeah, but then when we got like this Zach LaVine game, it was just epic. It was and like we said, the crowd, a Monday night crowd. It was full. That was fantastic.
Yeah, it was listed as a sellout too. 17,832. Wow.
It was college night too. So I
don't of course.
So you know, all those college kids.
Stingers up.
Stingers up.
Not the Charlotte Hornets stingers.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Dude, so I feel bad for the Hornets a little bit, man.
No.
You just lose by 53 and then you followed up with a 42-point loss?
Nope.
Morgan, you can be happy the Kings won and feel bad for the Hornets.
Miles Bridges is on that team.
Okay.
Nope.
Okay. So Sacramento's now 29-28. They're getting ready for the road trip. Is there anything else from this game that you think we should have mentioned?
Let's see. We got bench. We got obviously Zach. We got pace. We got Domas. We got turnovers.
I just don't want the ball sticking. That's my biggest thing. No sticking.
Oh,
and there are stretches that got sticky in the third.
I know we already talked bench, but just Jonas Valanciunas, even in just some moments. I know we shouldn't be doing this, but there's so many times we're just comparing to Alex Len when he's in there, and it's just like, wow, he's doing so many things that Alex Len wasn't doing. And it's just, I don't mean to dump on Alex Len. It's more just saying what the Kings have had as their backup for a while now. And it's just so nice having another big body in there, just battle through, be there to crash the boards, get a missed shot, whatever it is, clean it up.
He had 6 points, 8 rebounds on 2 of 4 shooting in 14 minutes of work. The bench did a lot of work out there. Laravia had, wow, Jake Laravia, 5 assists in this game.
Damn.
In 16 minutes. He also had a steal. Markel Fultz had 3 steals in the game to go along with his 5 points. Okay. 5 dimes from Jake. Like that. That's it. Laravia's a fun player because he is that. He's like one of those glue guys that you just love to have on your team. That's just going to go out there and hustle.
Hell yeah.
You know, you want him knocking down shots and hopefully he can get a rhythm from three, but he didn't take a shot tonight and impacted the game.
Pretty cool. Yeah.
Really cool.
And now you're just hoping that the Kings can keep this vibe going on the road.
It's a road trip. And the Kings, you know, when you look at the schedule ahead, you start diving into it like, oh my God, this is one of the hardest schedules in the NBA. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. The NBA is tough. Buckle up, deal with it. Don't look too far ahead because you'll just be down. Buckle up. And I've done it too. I did it last time when I was really down after the Warriors loss. Uh-huh. I went to look at that homestand in March and went, oh my God. What lies ahead for Sacramento? A road trip. It's a 4-game trip that's spread out over like 10 days. It starts Wednesday at Utah. The Jazz are sitting at 14-43, but they've had some wins recently. They play tough, so you don't overlook anybody. The Kings also take on the Rockets. That one is Saturday. They go to Dallas, and then they end the road trip at Denver on March 5th before returning home March 7th. Against the San Antonio Spurs.
Talk about what happened tonight.
So, toward the end of the game, the Kings always put like a promo for, hey, the next home game. The next home game, Kings Spurs. And the graphic had Zach LaVine and De'Aaron Fox. Booze. And when I say booze, I mean, because I wasn't paying attention. I was taking notes that, you know, we're about to go on for the post game. And I hear the booze. I'm like, what are they doing more? He's like, oh my God, it's the King Spurs graphic. They're booing it. And sure enough, yeah, I mean, the boos were, it was not just like,
no, I thought someone was getting a technical or something.
I thought something happened on the floor.
Same.
Like, same. So there's some scuffle.
It was loud and clear.
Yeah.
I didn't like it, but that's me.
Yeah, but we'll see if he plays.
Yeah.
I wonder if he'll play in that game. I don't know like where he is at.
After Wemby went down.
Yeah. Does he elect to like have surgery? Does he come back in that game? I don't know. Here's what I personally want.
Oh, what do you personally want? Is this what you want or you think should happen?
No, this is what I want.
Okay.
I want him to like have surgery and not play in that game. Let's deal with this next year. Let's let the emotions maybe cool down a little bit.
Yeah.
Okay. Because there's been just so much drama with this whole situation.
Please.
Yeah,
time heals everything.
I know. I don't want him to get booed.
I don't.
But he's going to get booed.
I know.
And I'm not mad at anyone who does, by the way. Like, fans are going to feel the way they want. And guess what? There's been some stuff that's been said that I get it. Like, I get it. People are loyal to Sacramento, man. And that's the reality.
I mean, so am I. I love the shit out of this city and this team. His fan base, everything. I also think people can make some emotional mistakes with that, but where there's like so much, like DeMarcus Cousins got cheered.
No, but he got some booed too. I mean,
did he?
Morgan, time heals everything. Kevin Durant got booed going back to OKC the first time. You know, it is what it is.
No, it is. It is. And it's sports at the end of the day. And I mean, there's so many times.
Feelings are raw.
Well, that, and I will look at other teams that do that for someone. Like, I think it was like Paul George somewhere or something. I forget what it was recently, but I remember just being like, yeah, fans are fans. Let them be what they want. I think it was Philly and coming back to LA. And I was like, fans are fans. Let them do what they want to do. But then, of course, when it's something like with the team that I root on and everything, I'm like, oh, I don't know if I like that. Just how I feel.
I mean, in a perfect world, you would love that all the former players who came through Sacramento would come back home no matter what and get some love. It's just not the reality. You know, it's that was a tough situation at the end.
It was, and then it just got tougher and weirder. Yeah.
Yeah. So, but first things first, taking on the Utah Jazz on Wednesday. Yeah, I mean, this is a tough road trip. Houston's been really up and down recently, too. I don't know if you've looked at what they've been doing.
No. Why are they're up and down?
Oh, yeah. I mean, they were 32-14. They're now 35-22.
I saw that last loss.
So, you know, and they're coming off a loss to Utah.
Yeah.
You know, they lost 124-115. They've had some injuries, too. I mean, they've had some things going on. But so the Kings have beat them twice. We'll see. Different version of the Kings. And they take on a Dallas team that got hammered by the Warriors yesterday. They're dealing with their own issues, right? Anthony Davis hurt. Lively out. Gafford. They're thin, but the Kings had to, like, scratch and claw to beat them in overtime in Dallas a little bit ago. So who knows there? And then we know, like, the last time the Kings played Denver, it was on a second night of a back-to-back in Denver, and it was not close. I don't know. This is going to be a challenge down the stretch of the season, and you just hope that the Kings can build off what we saw tonight against the Hornets, take care of business against Utah, and we'll go from there.
It's good.
Is that fair?
I think that's fair. It's a good way to put it.
Some people in the chat, Hector says Kawhi got booed going back to San Antonio. Exactly. Yeah, and he won a championship there. Like, it's not the first time a player goes back and gets booed. It's not my favorite thing, but it's...
I know.
Emotions are raw, man. Right?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I have to look at, like, how I viewed different situations. And I was like, fans are going to be fans. When I'm closer to the situation and I don't feel a certain way. Yeah. It makes me sad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like feeling sad.
I hear you. Let's get some super chat. Darth Blocks donates $2 saying, is this the best win of the year?
Ooh.
No. No, it's not the best win of the year.
How about it's the best win for this roster?
Yeah. I mean, for most complete? Yeah absolutely. Yes. Yeah. For this
doesn't matter, the Hornets.
I was thinking about, like, the road win at Boston was really awesome. Remember that? That was sweet.
Yeah.
The win right after the trade before LaVine showed up in Minnesota, the day after the trade. Yep. Like, that was a really good win, too.
Absolutely.
Ashley donates $5. Remember when we would lose to the Hornets with Fox? LOL. LaVine is that dude. I'm sorry. I had to.
Oh, Ashley.
Kings actually have not had a lot of success against the Hornets in recent years, believe it or not. So.
Yeah.
But yes, I do agree that this is the best win with this group.
Yeah. No, and it's like we said, it was fun because it was good basketball. It wasn't just like, oh, they beat a shitty team. It was like, no, they executed good basketball and then they dominated.
Oh, by the way, your defensive player of the game tonight, Jake LaRavia.
Jake LaRavia looks like he's 12. He does.
He does.
He totally does.
Well, I mean, he's pretty young.
Not 12.
Thanks, Maury. Thanks for clarifying. I mean, he's 23. He definitely has a baby face.
He does. Super cute.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could see, too, like, he doesn't really have any facial hair.
He might.
No, up close, you could tell, like, he doesn't grow any of it.
Seriously?
Yeah. And as someone who doesn't have a lot. Although, gotta be honest, getting some grays down here.
That's cool. I have grays.
It's crazy to get grays in your mid-20s. No, you know what I mean? It's just like not one of those
things. You're not in your mid-20s. I got some grays. Funny. I don't think I got grays until I, like, turned 30. And now I'm, like, getting more, though.
Being around her, let me tell you, you'll get a lot of grays, huh?
You just said you have, like, a few on your chin. So
yeah, you know.
Your joke makes no sense. so stupid.
I want to look at my notes, see if there's anything I missed.
You're insane, dude.
Okay. What, do you have anything or no?
No, because I went over everything to make sure I didn't miss anything.
Okay. Someone says, give love to your Lithuanians. Yeah, we gave love to JV. Sabonis' game, I didn't think Sabonis had a good game tonight.
That's fine.
It's nice that they could win a game where Sabonis isn't good. He's had a lot of great games. True. I just didn't think he was very good offensively tonight. You know, that lob he tried to throw to
Keegan.
What? It was crowded. Uh-huh. What are you doing?
Yeah.
There's a little too much of that at that.
Kevin Herter had a big night in Chicago.
Dude, shout out Kevin Herter.
Yeah.
Another guy that Kings fans will boo for whatever reason.
Wait, will they boo Kevin?
It's sad to say, I think Kevin would get booed.
No!
We're so harsh nowadays, dude. Come on. You sucked for like a year. Booing you. Bum!
Helped get the Kings to the playoffs.
Yeah, it was crazy. Chicago beat the Sixers tonight. 142 to 110. Here are some incredible stats. Josh Giddey, 25 points, 16 rebounds, 6 assists. Kevin Herter, 23 points, 8 of 12 shooting, 7 of 11 from 3 for Red Velvet. I hope he finds his game again.
I do too. And
he's actually, I think the last three games for Kevin Herter, he's been knocking it down from three.
That good for him.
Let's see. I'm going to give you his update. I'm sure someone's listening. Why do I care about this? Okay, so Kevin Herter in his last three games is 14 of 27 from three. Damn.
Yep, that's a lot better.
Let it fly.
So, you know.
Dude, the Sixers, by the way, oh my goodness.
What a mess. So you're telling me about.
Embiid did not play.
And okay.
They're trying to figure out what his future is. He may need another surgery.
Poor guy. Poor guy.
That is literally so. I'm not big on the like, hey, this guy should retire thing. In his case, I'm like, dude, you may not be able to play. Like, you're always hurt. Your body's breaking down.
People are still paying you.
I understand that, and I've said that. I'm just saying, like, for his health, he's putting his body through a lot.
I know.
He came to this league with a broken body and tried to fight through it, had won an MVP in this league.
Not all bodies are created equal. Mm-mm. Like, I always say that when it comes to, all bodies are just not made for sports and taking hits and poor guy. I mean.
The Sixers are 20 and 37. 20 and 37. Crazy.
That's so bad.
Also, let's give some love to the Pistons. In some ways, that loss to the Pistons was a low point for us.
Yeah.
And I think part of it was how it happened, but it was also like, this the Pistons. The Pistons are 32 and 26.
Damn.
One of the best stories in the NBA this year. Cade Cunningham. Let's acknowledge what he has turned into. Being healthy after being banged up, this guy has been spectacular. Tonight in a win over the Clippers at 32 points, 9 rebounds, 7 assists. And the Pistons are the sixth seed right now in the East.
It's just, wow.
Isn't that good? That was a team that lost how many in a row last year?
It's that, but also, like, it's not like the Eastern Conference is just trash or anything. You know, it's not. No, it's not. I know.
The bottom of it is.
I was going to say, I know it's top heavy. But, like, you look at all the chaos or injuries or whatever in the Western Conference that has, like, really mixed things up. And I look at both conferences right now and I just see where Detroit is. And it's, like, it's totally earned. It's not just. Like it's
no, they play hard.
Yeah.
They have a very likable team and they have a guy in Cade who is a guy, right? Like he gets buckets. He's a stud of a player. And to see him healthy and contributing to a winning team, a team that last year lost 28 games in a row.
Oh, yeah.
They lost 28 in a row. They're 31 and 26.
Deflating. It's good for them.
So I think it's a great story.
Mm-hmm.
And like some cast offs too. Like Malik Beasley's been big for them. They had Schroeder at the deadline. I don't know. They're just a fun bunch.
Just a fun little bunch.
Just a fun little fun bunch.
Little bunch. Oh, yeah. This one I wanted to mention.
Okay. Insane finish between Oklahoma City and Minnesota tonight. OKC led by 25 points in this game. Led by 25 points. In fact, they were up. 16 points in this game with 3:41 to go.
Yeah.
3:41, up 16. They lost in overtime to Minnesota 131 to 128. McDaniels with 27 points. Nikhil Alexander Walker with 21 points. The rookie, Terrence Shannon Jr., 17 points, 10 rebounds in 29 minutes off the bench.
Darn.
What a comeback, and something that's so uncharacteristic of OKC. They close well. They usually like just slam the door shut on you. By the way, the rookie Shannon, he played the entire fourth quarter at 11 points. He's explosive as shit.
We also saw, I mean, because we obviously weren't watching this game, we were watching Kings, but we saw that for the 16-0 run that the Wolves went on, the Ant was on the bench. And
he had a rough night, 5 of 15 in this game.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, for them, it's probably felt so good you could go up against OKC and still rely on some of your other guys to help pull out that win.
Yeah, that's a
huge
big
win.
Massive win. Any other things you want to mention about life?
Feel
like have we laughed enough tonight? You cried.
Why are you yelling at me?
I'm not yelling at you.
Let me think. Have we done a podcast since the All-Star break? Yes, we have.
You just tried to block out the Warriors thing?
I had to think about that. I was like, wait. So, yeah.
Yeah.
We talked some All-Star. I'm trying to think if there's anything else going on.
Oberyn in the chat says, games like these is why, in the back of my mind, OKC might not make it to the finals. They are dominant, but they have quirky things they need to fix.
But that's every team.
Yeah,
that's,
I mean,
even teams at the top.
They're not perfect.
Yeah.
I've watched, it's playoff basketball is so different for sure, but I think this team is ready to make noise in the playoffs.
That's what I wanted to say. I have this a lot more this year than ever. So many young girls and young women that come up to me, and you get to witness some of it. And I just think it's the coolest thing when they come up to us at a game and they say they watch the podcast, or they come up to me and they say, like, they love what I do, blah, 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 on the broadcast, whatever. And it is just the most fulfilling thing ever. And you and I have always talked about that. Like what else is all this for? It's like the next generation. Like, how cool that you can try and build that certain habits or things or standards or whatever for the next generation, because it's always going to evolve. And we always talk about how it's harder than ever to get into this business and all these things. And then when you see someone inspired by your work, and I haven't done things, and same with you, the traditional way to get into this business. And when you get to pass along that information and you inspire some other young, cool girls and stuff, I don't know, it's just really cool. Met Savannah and Annabelle tonight, and they were awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
No, I like, it's not just a bunch of dudes listening to the pod.
I do too.
Diverse,
no,
audience.
I think
I like a diverse audience.
And you dudes are cool. I'm not gonna lie, we do have a pretty cool dude audience. Respectful. You guys rock.
Most,
but
not all. Let me look at that chat.
Not all, but seriously, all of you guys that support us and tune in and then come up to us at games and stuff, you're all just way too kind. Like, thank you, because sometimes you'll just be a few mean people throughout your day or at the arena or whatever, and you're just like, shit. But then you remember all, like, there's so many more good people, and it's just so cool.
It's true.
It is.
Yeah, like one guy on Twitter tonight that was like going at us at NBC, at Kings. These guys are jokes. Why are they doing the halftime show? They suck.
And he was just a sexist. And then I asked for a breakdown. Yeah. I said, hey, well, like, if we suck, then give me a breakdown of our analysis. Like, tell me constructive feedback. There was no analysis to even break down. And like, at first he wasn't even talking to me because he obviously had an issue with women, but it's all good. And that's why, you know, for that one, there's like so many more amazing people.
No, I hear that.
And that
I don't know why that guy got me tonight.
Ew, did he?
He just baited me, man. I shouldn't have responded.
Oh, I've
been so good lately. I'm good.
When I respond now, my favorite thing is just respond. Okay, well then break down my analysis. What you didn't, if it was so bad, why didn't you tell me what was so bad about it? Oh, you can't? Cause it wasn't. But I'm cool.
I have gone to the point of my career where I'm fine with people like not liking me. It's fine. Just be nice about it. Like,
that's
just
it.
Don't like
just be nice.
Do you have to like tag me if you don't like it? Do you have to like be like, oh, you suck? I'm just like, okay, cool, man. Like,
we're not gonna be everyone's cup of tea.
Yeah, it's fine.
But like, we're not gonna be bad, mean people either. So like, you don't need to be that to us.
Be nice.
You know?
Come on, people.
Or just be kind to everyone. Shit.
I do have a random question for you.
Yeah.
Warriors smashed the Mavs yesterday.
Okay.
Jimmy Butler had a comment today saying he thinks this is the best team he's ever played on. Draymond had the comment about how he thinks he says they're going to win a championship.
Uh-huh.
Should we be fearful as NBA fans of the Golden State Warriors, or do you need to see more?
I could sit here right now and say I need to see more. But at the same time, I've said this to you year after year after year. I will never count out Steph Curry until he shows me something different. Now, when the Kings knocked them out of the play-in, I still had more belief in the Kings squad than the Warriors roster as a whole, right? But I think now that you gave this Warriors roster new life with Jimmy Butler, new weapon with Steph Curry. So now it just makes his life so much easier. Different attention on Jimmy, all these different things. Gets to the free throw line, all these different things. It's like, don't count them out. And don't count out their confidence, too.
And, we're just talking about don't play the schedule game, but they've won three in a row. Coming up, they've got Charlotte.
Yeah.
That's their next game. At Orlando. At Philly, who we just talked about. It's a mess. And then at Charlotte. That's their next four. That could be four straight wins for them coming up.
It could be.
Man.
Don't play the schedule game.
They still have Portland a couple of times, San Antonio a couple of times. Kings play them March 13th in San Francisco, a TNT game.
Oh, and tomorrow. Well, I guess it doesn't matter because AD's out, but Mavs Lakers tomorrow.
It's just, Luka.
Yeah. Who am I kidding?
That's the one team that I get kind of sick of. Duh. The Lakers, but
yeah,
the Lakers looked awesome against the Nuggets the other night in Denver. It was a great win. It's a team that they've struggled with the last few years, and to see the job they did on Jokic, I just think when the Lakers do anything remotely productive, it feels like one marquee win for them is the equivalent of like a 12 game winning streak for the Kings, the way it's talked about. Do you know what I mean? Like,
it's always,
I was impressed, but so they've won two in a row after they lost games to Utah and Charlotte. They beat Portland, and then that was when LeBron had that 40 point game. And then last game, Luka got it going, and they beat Denver. I'm not trying to diminish what they have, but I'm just like,
dude,
why is there always this rush that, like, hey, they win two in a row, and it's like, dude, JJ, coach of the year. Oh, man, look out for this team.
Because it's the narrative and the storylines that they want. Also, they're based in LA, like a lot of national media. You know, like you're, it's the same thing. I know with the Warriors, it's like when you've just an iconic player on that team, no matter what they do, even if they sucked, if he has a 30-point game and a loss, they're talking about the 30-point game and loss rather than some epic win around the NBA.
Also, how good is Luka? The guy is clearly not in shape. He's still trying to get in shape. He had 32 points, 10 rebounds, 7 assists, 4 steals, 10 of 22 shooting in that win over Denver.
Wild.
And the Lakers played great defense. That it was honestly a really impressive game. And Jokic, they held him to 12 points. He still had a triple-double, but he was 2 of 7 shooting.
Yeah, so that's tomorrow night. Job.
So, yeah, your point. Lakers, Mavs tomorrow night. What is Luka going to do against them?
I'm excited.
I am, too.
I want to see.
We'll do a breakdown. I
have it on my calendar because I was...
Final thoughts. It's one win against the Hornets. Are all the issues fixed? No. Does this mean the Kings are going to win 17 in a row here? Probably not. But we are allowed to enjoy a win by 42 points in a game where Zach LaVine drops 42 and the guy missed 3 shots. It's one of those performances that if this was a season in which the Kings were like crushing it,
mm-hmm.
we would be talking about what a game by LaVine. This is one of the best performances yep. we've seen. We need to like stop and pause. The guy was 16 of 19 shooting.
So impressive. 8
of 9 from 3. That does not happen
yep.
often in the NBA.
Yep.
So that's what's beautiful about the game of basketball. You never know what you're going to see on a given night.
I like that final thought.
We'll be back Wednesday night following Kings and Jazz. We love you guys so, so, so much. Make sure to drop comments on the YouTube page after the show. Hit the thumbs up, subscribe. All that stuff I just said helps our channel grow.
You guys are all the best. Seriously, thank you so much for joining us.
Why not beat the Jazz?
Why not?
Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, they tell you what they know. Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, Deuce and Mo, the podcast that you know. Deuce and Mo.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices, save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices. Plus, extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. And up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.